Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance to get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Welcome to another session of Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Harty, of Shekinah Road to Recovery. We've had a great 2 weeks speaking about problems that addicts have, and we are doing a third week now, the third in a series. And I'd just like to mention to our folk that if you've missed the first two, it's not a problem, because each one is self-contained in itself. In the previous 2 weeks, though, we looked at the root of addiction, the reality of a person's situation. And then last week, we looked specifically at one wall that people tend to build up, and that we called the wall of rejection. As people experience rejection in their lives, they use this rejection, different aspects of it, to actually build up a barrier between themselves and others, even God. They think they are protecting themselves, but actually they're isolating themselves from others. Nevertheless, this week we're going to look at the other wall, the wall of rebellion. I would encourage you to take up a pen and some paper so that you can make some notes. And also draw a diagram if you're artistic. Remember that we are just actually scratching the surface of this very, very serious problem. But it will give us an idea of how we can actually cope with those folk who are struggling with addiction. And even if you do not have a problem yourself or know someone who has a problem, you'll find that as we look at the different characteristics and the different emotions that are involved with this wall of rebellion, we take heed of it, we can actually improve our own lifestyles. So let's get stuck in. I'd just like to remind our listeners that if you'd like to make a comment, you're welcome to do so. Or if you have a query, you can do so on the telephone number 082-789-5973. I'll say that number again, 082-789-5973. WhatsApp is the best means of communication, although I have received SMSs and even on Telegram. But be that as it may, you can communicate in any which way you'd like to. And I'd like to thank those folk who do communicate. It is greatly encouraging to know that some folk will actually take cognizance and heed of what is said. We have a scripture that we've used in the beginning of the series, and I'd like to read it again. It's taken from the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. Although when we say minor, it doesn't mean it's of any less importance. When we say it's a minor prophet, we're actually saying it's just one of the shorter books, one of the shorter prophetical books in the Old Testament. And this book is Amos. Amos chapter 7 and verse 7. Amos is writing and he says, "This is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, 'What do you see, Amos?' 'A plumb line,' I replied. Then the Lord said, 'Look, I'm setting a plumb line among my people Israel, and I will spare them no longer.'" Now, why did the Lord say this? He said it because he saw through the moral decay of the nation. And he described them like a tottering wall. The blocks of the wall were placed precariously on top of one another, not true to plumb line, and it was about to collapse. God is speaking to a nation here, but we can liken it to ourselves or a loved one, especially if they're battling with substance abuse. For those listeners who missed the last two programs, think of a plumb line. It's a string or fishing line with a weight or a sinker or of some type tied to the end of it. And when we hold it up off the ground, the weight comes up off the ground and the sinker or weight hangs free, you'll see that there's a perfect vertical line that is created by the string or the line. And this is an illustration of God's perfect plan for our life. However, we tend to sway or swing away from that perfect vertical line by characteristics that have become part and parcel of our lives. With the substance abuser, many times the onset of addiction has been brought about by feelings or supposed feelings of either rejection or they have a rebellious spirit. Last week, we looked at the pendulum swing away from God's master plan of love and acceptance, and that swing we called the wall of rejection. And this week, we're going to concentrate on the pendulum swing to the other side, and that's the wall of rebellion. We also mentioned that the addict will swing from one side of God's perfect plan to the other very easily. We likened characteristics of rejection as blocks in a wall tottering over and above the addict, and that shuts out communication and feelings from others. And we described it as similar in designed to an Eskimo igloo, one side a wall of rejection and the other side a wall of rejection that meet in the middle at the top, cutting the addict off from the outside world and cutting the addict off from God. And as feelings of rejection and rebellion grow, the addict thickens or reinforces these walls from the inside, making his space smaller and smaller. And his life becomes more cramped and isolated. And he becomes a recluse from society. Instead of a wall of protection, as the addict thinks it is, walls are actually a means of a barrier to society, the community, to God, and actually smothers the addict's living. So let's give these blocks of rebellion a name. And if you've drawn these blocks tottering over to meet your wall of rejection at the top, write these names next to these blocks. Don't worry if you haven't got a wall of rejection. You can start building a new wall now as we describe each of these blocks. As Amos records in the scripture that we read, unsteady, tottering wall about to stumble. As with the wall of rejection, we find that the characteristics that are rebellious fall into three different types or three different characters. The first relate to our emotion. So write these down and mark those in the wall of rebellion that we're going to construct that apply to you or your loved one who is struggling with addiction. The first block or brick in this wall is a block called hostility. Anger is a minor form of hostility, and anger can be released in a constructive way. We think of Christ when he saw the money changers and the marketplace and the temple, and he said, "My Father's house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a marketplace." And scripture says he was angry, but it was a controlled anger. It wasn't a ranting and raving out of control. But unharnessed anger can be extremely dangerous. This anger often arises from hurt. Excuse me. And if hurt is incessant, anger can ferment and become hostility. And a person with persistent hostility has problems that have originated from some unresolved internal conflict. An unhealed wound deep within. When anger finds no acceptable outlet, it goes underground. It may become a vicious cycle of first over-controlling and then will tend to explode totally out of control. With these individuals, There may be many accumulated hurtful emotions that cause either deep depression, explosive outbursts of anger as a way of escape, or even both. Maybe we can see the swing of the pendulum from one side to the other. When painful and hurtful emotions are chronically suppressed over an extended period of time, they may surface in the form of mental illness or psychosomatic disorders. The second block we're looking at is a block called conceit. This distortion of character is best defined as being aloof or apart from others, reflecting an overt degree of personal vanity and egocentricity. A conceited person often struggles with feelings of loneliness, as potential relationships are warded off by the aloof behavior or condescending comments towards others. And you find people are belittled through a conceited person's mannerisms and expressions of one-upmanship. Conceited person's feelings of value and worth are strongly enhanced, but at the expense of others. And this, of course, results in a loss of companionship. People don't like to hang around a person who is conceited and think of themselves up. Next block we're looking at is called sophistication. People who think they are sophisticated. This block could be called pseudo-sophistication, as it is often attempted by an egocentric individual living in a self-imposed falsehood with an endeavor to deceive others. Instead of a simplistic lifestyle, as most people live, persons with airs of sophistication round about them come across as smooth, always in control, then they emanate an air of independence and self-confidence whilst believing and making others feel that they are missing out on some of the qualities of life. The problem is, beneath the surface, often we find feelings of insecurity, inferiority, and phobias of one kind or another. Appearing sophisticated deceitfully masks these negative characteristics. And this, together with conceit, results in real barriers to warm and loving relationships. Our next block is a double-faced block. We call it elation and deflation, or you could possibly just call it mood swings. We find that whenever conflict or pressure occurs in life, minor mood swings can be expected, and everyone experiences these changes in mood or emotion at some time or another. Crisis along life's way can be likened, if it were, to traveling in a car that hits a bump, or in our South African context, more likely hitting a pothole in the road. Just as the car's shock absorbers slide up and down, so do our moods. And this is normal. And just like a shock absorber, we should quickly even out. The shock absorber absorbs the shock, the roughness, and evens out the ride, and will settle down on an uneven road. So should we in our situation. But as a vehicle with weak shock absorbers will bounce up and down and will not be able to absorb the uneven surface, so too the person under extreme pressure will vacillate from elation to deflation, even after the way ahead becomes smooth. And we've seen it with a car with weak shock absorbers. Once it's gone over the bump or hit the pothole, even though the road is smooth, the car will still bounce along for a bit of a way because the shock absorbers are not doing their job properly. And it's the same in an individual situation. The slightest negative influence, person will be caused to bounce along, just like the car with worn-out shocks. And these mood swings can become so extreme that a breakdown of emotional control becomes the norm. And this state of psychosis is very common amongst illegal drug users. And we find as well that the person who's not drugging, a family member or a friend, invariably cannot understand why this person has become so moody, or why they, such a minor thing will influence them in such a way, and they become so elated or so deflated over seemingly petty things. But that is the problem that drug and the influence of alcohol or the drug brings upon an individual's life. The second category of building blocks in our war rebellion can be labeled intellect. This relates to our thinking processes and the resultant attitudes. First block in this category, but we're still building on these other blocks that we've already written down, is superiority. Superiority. This characteristic is most commonly found in the academic environment. And in many countries, it's almost become like a caste type system. We see this particularly in India. All too often, those with a higher qualification relate to those with a lower status only on basic beliefs or not communicate with these people at all. We see this even in Jesus' day. The Pharisees looked with disdain at Jesus as they believed that they were superior because of their learning and their knowledge. When we bring this into today's world, we see this with substance abusers. Those who have slipped into areas of addiction tend to act as if they are superior to others. And they act in a condescending way towards others. But this behavior often indicates that they're overcompensating for their own feelings of inferiority. When people are put down by them, they feel lifted up. Such feelings are often a result of programming by abusive parenting or early peer pressure persecution. This block of superiority very often isolates the individual from forming or maintaining meaningful relationships in life. Listeners, we've almost reached the halfway point in our program. We're going to go for a music breakdown. When we come back, we're going to continue building on this wall of rebellion, block by block. Welcome back to Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Harty, and I'm speaking about the walls that addicts often build up to protect themselves. They don't really do it knowingly, but subconsciously they build these walls to protect themselves, where we're finding that these walls actually isolate them from society. And we're building on the wall of rebellion. And our next block in this wall is called competitiveness. Being competitive is often confused with ambition. Being ambitious in a career or wanting to do well is not wrong at all, just as being competitive in a race is not wrong. If a person runs a race, the desire is to win or to better one's time, do their best. I was often told as a youngster and even as an adult, enjoy the sport. It is not just having to win all the time. It's to enjoy it. Well, it's nice to win, but when competitiveness gets out of hand, it becomes a destructive force in our lives. Unfortunately, some people have grown up in an environment having been raised in an atmosphere of what we call conditional love. This demands that certain standards have to be met and maintained in order for love to be experienced. If top grades in school or the highest performances in sport were not attained, then there was very little affirmation given. I think of an example of a cross-country race in many, many years ago in White River in the Eastern Transvaal, now Mpumalanga, when I was coaching a Christian school. Sport, and we entered a cross-country race. And I told the youngsters, look, we're not a very strong team, but we're going to go and enjoy ourselves. And we found there that there were some parents who were going, cutting across the ports net to see how their children were going on and were shouting their children on. One parent was even swearing at their child that they must do better. They're lagging behind. They must do better. They must do better. And when they came to the finish line, the parent was shouting at the child to keep going, keep going. To the point of where the child was running down the final straight with tears streaming down their face. That's not enjoyment at all. In fact, one of the other parents went and told this parent off, and rightly so. That type of competitiveness is harmful, and unfortunately, some youngsters are brought up in that style. And as a result, today, many adults are performing just for affirmation or love. The message is that a parent loves a child for who they are. That should be our message, not for what they do or how well they perform, because it's not a picture of God. A loving Father loves me, and He loves you for who you are, not for what you have done. The next block in our wall is a block called dominance. In psychology, this is the disposition of an individual to influence or control. In the animal kingdom, it is the highest status in a social group, usually acquired as the result of aggression that involves the tendency to take priority in access to the limited resources such as food, a mate, or space. This is reflected in the substance abuser and the addict and is often brought into play by aggression that covers feelings of insecurity. And insecurity, as we have learned, results from a deficit of love. I'm sure you've noticed by now that many of these characteristics are very similar to each other, and they are direct opposites to the characteristics in the wall of rejection. So with the addict, the pendulum of life swings from one side to the other. And as these feelings and experiences are encountered, they tend to become overinflated in their lives to the point, as mentioned, that they thicken the block so much that nothing can penetrate in. The feeling of protection is false as they become more and more isolated from the rigidity of life. And that is our next block, rigidity. To be rigid means not flexible, stiff, or unyielding. The person who is rigid will hold onto opinions or beliefs no matter what counter-argument or conversation. Such a person gets so wrapped up in their ideas that they cannot handle the crisis of being wrong. Such a person, if they admit being incorrect, they feel that their value or their worth is depreciated. Such rigidity is commonplace as a person gets older. I've seen it as people get older. The people, as they get older, get more staid in their ways, and it is many times difficult to teach something new to an old person. However, it is seen that many younger people who become substance dependent become very rigid. Stubbornness is the next block in our wall. Stubbornness often develops from rigidity, also be caused from a person's insecurity in a new situation, especially if the consequences could be failure. Stopping this from developing takes a lot of effort and time. And this specific habit patterns are directed towards authority figures. The person tells somebody something to do something, the person becomes stubborn and doesn't want to do it. And we find that oftentimes a person becomes stubborn because they themselves have been misused or abused in a particular situation. Domineering parents is an example. In Scripture, we read many examples of people being stubborn. I think of Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding and must be controlled by a bit and a bridle." When it comes to following God's commands, we should not be stubborn or obstinate. In tractable, We must not turn our heads away. We need to learn to yield and be pliable in God's hands. It's not my wish for God to use a bit and bridle on me. And I'm sure it's nobody else's as well. The next block in this wall of rebellion is unteachable. An unteachable person is someone who finds it difficult to acknowledge learning something new. To them, to do so would mean putting down of selves, as much of their identity is wrapped up in their own knowledge. Instead of adapting to challenges in life and growing wise from learning something new, they are thrown into an identity crisis. And it's extremely difficult to try and counsel or impart new truth to an unteachable, stubborn, and rigid person. We see that many of these blocks are closely related one to the other, with individuals having an all-knowing attitude round about them. However, they tend to only fool themselves. Family and friends see right through the facade the person desperately seeking help. The final category of blocks in the wall of rebellion pertains to the spirit. And the first block in this category, as we're building up our tottering wall of rebellion, the block called delusion. People are sometimes delusional. Individuals become delusional when deception has become a habit. And it is a chronic factor in a person's life. And they lose all sense of reality, especially the person who is using illegal drugs can become very delusional. They lose touch with reality, and they tend to live in an imaginary realm. Illusion is an unshakable belief in something that is not true, and this belief isn't normally a part of the person's culture or their subculture. The people around about such a person and see that they are living a delusional lifestyle, but the person living it believes it to be true. Common occurrences of delusion in a person's life are feelings of being followed. They think that somebody's following them or watching them all the time, or they are being deceived by others, or they're even being loved by someone from a distance. Sometimes that's a delusion. In reality, these situations are either untrue or they're highly exaggerated. We have often had the experience of a person believing that someone had removed an organ from their body without any physical evidence of the procedure. This person was living grand delusion. Substance abuse and being under the influence of substance tend to enhance such illusion. The next block in our wall is also a two-sided block. It's resentment and bitterness. When hurt or words, actions by others hurt a person, we have a choice to either forgive or to resent. If we forgive, we're in the place to be forgiven by God for our own sins, and forgiveness is more readily given to us by those round about us. But if we allow resentment in our hearts, we place a block in the way of God's forgiveness, and it opens the door for bitterness to enter. Hebrews 12, verse 15 warns us to be careful, lest there be a spring within us of bitterness through which many can be defiled. To forgive causes a person to become free in their spirit, but bitterness has reduced some people to a place of unforgiveness. We see in relationships and in societies, many people are resentful towards others. And in some communities, we see this has led to factions. And hatred has developed over generations to the point where youngsters today don't even know why or how such bitterness exists between people living on the other side of the hill or people living in another neighborhood. Any mental as well as physical disorders are brought about by bitterness and resentment. And we find that medical treatment of such disorders is very limited where there is no forgiveness. The next block in the wall is critical or criticalness. Many people in our communities walk around today with a very critical spirit. This is even more so with your substance abuser. A critical attitude leads to discontent, which then expels appreciation and gratitude. And when this happens, our attention turns inward many times in the form of self-pity, and criticism takes root and grows. We need to recognize the difference between critical thinking, which sharpens us, and a critical spirit cuts other people down. Criticism of others often covers the need for self-internal criticism and self-introspection. We found that many youngsters, they had been criticized continually in their formative years. They themselves become very critical of others later in life, which is accelerated with the misuse of alcohol. Our next block, controlling and possessiveness. Two characteristics in this block, controlling and possessiveness. These blocks are closely linked together. The one tends to lead to the other. A person may resort to control through insecurity and hurt in an attempt to keep the upper hand in any given situation. As the person controls over and over, develops into a possessive trait where the individual tries to live another person's life for them. This distortion becomes a lethal weapon in relationships because it smothers individuality. The last block in our wall is a block of manipulation. And this is potentially the most powerful of all the blocks in the wall of rebellion. Manipulation is a malignant and destructive aspect of personality holding the potential to simulate love, yet block and destroy it. Manipulation can be defined as an attempt to control people or circumstances through deceptive or indirect means, exploit others for own personal gain. It's treacherous, awaiting a chance to trap. It usually develops gradually and then becomes well established before becoming apparent, having a gradual but cumulative effect. Manipulation by nature is dishonest. Love, by contrast, works on the basis of honesty and trust. But the manipulator tends to be dishonest in that he lives by a series of tricks, maneuvers, acts, and role-playing. And often hard to discern who the real person is. The manipulator is continually playing games with life and with people. And he has tunnel vision, seeing only what they want to see, and hearing what they want to hear. And the manipulator will always try to be in control and finds great difficulty in trusting others, stems from his own distrust in himself and others. You'll constantly consider how to keep the upper hand and to control relationships. And the substance abuser becomes the master of manipulation, especially playing on others' emotions for their own personal gain. These are the many characteristics that make up the wall of rebellion that is often found in a substance abuser's life. It is very sad that many people grow up experiencing or becoming a victim of these characteristics, and then they themselves portray them when under the influence of some narcotic substance. We must realize that addiction does not just happen. It is not an accidental thing. And we've looked at just some of the emotions and characteristics that individuals have experienced that have caused them to start an addictive. We've looked at some of the root causes that we've described as blocks in a wall that the abuser builds between himself, his family, his community, and his God. And what we're going to do in our final program in the series is look and see how we can remedy the situation. Remember, Christ never ever promised an easy road. He does expect some responsibilities from us. But next week, as mentioned, we'll look at some of these things that we can do to help a loved one or ourselves if we are in the situation of abusing a substance or using a substance more than it should be. As long as there is a willingness to change the situation, there is hope, and a person can be delivered from addiction. They are prepared to take responsibility and do something about it. Our hope is not in our own ability, experiences, or knowledge. Our hope should be in Christ, in the redeeming work he has done for us on Calvary. Rest in his hope until we chat again with remedial action that can be taken. God bless you all.